the Murray-Darling Basin's $1.5 billion water market could be set for major reform after a report by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission found significant deficiencies with the trade. The long-awaited report has found major issues with a lack of trust, lack of regulation, and that existing rules can give rise to market manipulation. The ACCC's Deputy Commissioner Mick Keogh says essentially the market has outgrown the structures that were established during its early stages.
We think it needs better regulation, better architecture and better governance in order to keep delivering the benefits that it's proposed to.
The report did note that many people using the market would like to return to the days when water right was tied to land, but the report makes the point of saying the ACCC does not agree with that. How commonly held was that view?
Well, it's certainly one that was presented to us quite frequently in our forums back in November last year. And if you remember at that stage, of course, there was a fairly severe drought situation and a lot of irrigators were facing, on the New South Wales side, certainly zero allocations for the second and third year. And I think there's a bit of finger-pointing there suggesting that part of the reason for that was others had purchased the water and therefore it was no longer available. But I think when you look at it from a slightly longer scale perspective, on average, the value of water entitlements makes up about 40% of the asset value of irrigated farms in the basin. So if we do away with that market, scale it right back down, there's an awful lot of capital value would be wiped out very quickly.
The ACCC is now seeking feedback on a number of recommendations or suggestions that it could put to government when the final report heads that way in November. Do you want to talk us through some of the major reforms that you're suggesting, beginning perhaps with regulation of the way that water brokers actually work?
Yes, that's one of the things that we encountered very frequently, and that is that the water broking industry, if I could call it that, is essentially unregulated. Unlike, for example, livestock agents or real estate agents, brokers don't owe fiduciary duty to their clients. They don't have that constraint or requirement that other agents that farmers typically deal with do. There is a lot of potential for agents to have a conflict of interest, for example, to be trading on their own behalf, to be only offering water in specific circumstances, to withhold information about recent trades. All those sorts of things are problematic in a market of this size. And the brokers themselves have recognised that there is reform needed in this perspective. We've suggested a couple of models, one being the model that applies in the financial services market. Another is a licensing model, and a third is having a single regulator, if you like, sitting over the market in the Murray-Darling Basin and being able to enforce standards on participants in that market.
You've also gone to the issue of trust and transparency and gone as far as to suggest that $0 trades shouldn't be permitted in the Murray-Darling Basin. Do you want to explain how you came to that?
Yeah, well, when you go to look at what has been happening in the market, when you go to put together all the trade data that's been accumulated since 2012, you run into two issues. One is that an enormous volume of trades are recorded at zero value. In terms of analysing the market, in that sort of scenario where a huge number of trades are at zero value, that becomes very difficult. But it goes even further than that because in terms of the requirements to have a unique identity for individual traders, that is not there either in this market. There's not even a requirement, for example, to supply an ABN or a tax file number when engaging in a trade that might amount to hundreds of thousands of dollars. So getting a very clear and objective understanding of behaviour in this market is very difficult, and we believe that in a market of this scale, that needs to be changed quickly because, of course, any attempt to regulate or to check the behaviour of participants is extremely difficult in that situation. And this has actually been recognised by the Murray-Darling Basin Authority.
Mick Keogh from the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission is our guest, speaking about the Competition Watchdog's release of the interim report into water trading. And it's very dense report, Mick. I've only had a quick look at it, but there doesn't seem to be too much talk of speculators or the role of corporates in the market. Have I missed that, or was that not really a concern?
No, there's a couple of chapters devoted to that. But the reason that we haven't reached a concluded view on that harks back to the comments I just made about the lack of clear and transparent information about what's happening in the market. So where a lot of trades are recorded at zero value, where the identity of the traders isn't in any way unique. In other words, an individual trader can be using multiple different entities for their trading activities. It's quite difficult to accumulate the data in a way that you can be clear about the behaviour of investors and large players in the market. That work is continuing, and we anticipate being able to be much more definitive about those sorts of issues in our final report in November, but it's certainly quite a complex task.
The findings in regards to the management of the river and the natural constraints or the way that the river is managed does actually have quite an unusual impact on the market. How do you recommend that be better managed?
Well, we looked at a number of issues in that respect. The delivery constraints down the river, in other words, the ability, the simple physical limit on the amount of water that can be shifted down the river at any one time. Controls over intervalley transfers and how that works, and the controls over carryover water, in other words, the ability of farmers to hold off the use of some of their water from this year and carry it into next year. Those all vary between states and between different river systems that all link into this single market. And the uncertainty and the lack of clarity around those sorts of issues it challenges the market, but also it's likely that they will become more significant into the future. And we don't think that the market architecture, as we call it, is properly established at this stage to deal with those issues. And then the further one is what's referred to as the conveyance loss down the river. In other words, the leakage and the evaporation of water as it moves from, say, the Hume Dam to South Australia. Again, that's an issue that isn't, we think, dealt with efficiently at the moment and needs some reconsideration of how it should be dealt with.
It's such a complex market. If you just step back, Mick Keogh, and think about your experience in the agriculture sector and looking at markets and trade, how does this report and this inquiry sort of stack up?
Look, I think I'd agree with your comment there. This is a much, much more complex and interrelated market than any of the other ones that you look at. On top of that, the market information that gives you a good sense of what's happening in the market is much less robust. So whereas I can go to a market report about a cattle sale or a wool sale and have confidence that it's a reasonable reflection of what happened in the market, I think a lot of players in the water market do not have that confidence about the information that's available. And that lack of confidence feeds into investment decisions and the future potential growth of the basin and its economy.
Mick Keogh is the Deputy Chair at the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, and he was speaking with Kath Sullivan. And the final report is due to government in November.